بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The current events have created a lot of anxiety. Some people have fallen into depression. Others are trying to work out what's going on. And in brief, everybody is giving his 5 cents, 2 cents, 50 cents. But the idea is that what they're giving, is it nonsense or is it making sense? So in essence, we need to understand, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ. Earth belongs to Allah Ta'ala. يُرِسُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He gives it to who he wants. And over applying our minds creates tension, anxiety, and worse, doubts. But what's happened to Allah Ta'ala? Na'udhu billah. These are the type of comments can come up when there's overthinking. In news, like in everything in Islam, there is a protocol, there is a procedure. News also has got some procedure, some protocol, that how do you disseminate, how do you receive news. So in short, there are 3 things that to be considered in receiving or passing news. One is, you take that amount of news that you can digest. So news must be like food, how much you can digest. Number 2 is, you take that type of information that is useful, like food. You take all junk, then you become a junk. So news also, you take everything and anything, then you are a junk. Because anything comes your way, and everything that comes your way, you are swallowing it. You lose people's trust, confidence, and you don't have a direction in life, because you're just following the news. And the ones that are controlling the news, generally, 99%, they're doing it as a business. And they will write down and they will say what their bosses want. Obviously, they're on the payroll. When they are on the payroll, then they won't write independently. They have to conform to the standards of their bosses so that they can be paid out well. Against a person who's writing independently, freely, his boss will not be happy with him. So it's media manipulation, right? And we are the clients, we are the suckers. Anything, everything comes away, we're taking it on. And we'll cover up by saying, no, I'm not so stupid, I can read between the lines. And they also know how to make you feel, how you must read between the lines. So they will give you the news, and they will teach you how to read between the lines. So what has happened? So one is, you must be able to digest it. Then take news that is good. As Sheikh Saadi rahmatullahi says, that bad news, leave it to the owl. In ancient Persia, then anything that is bad, they would leave it to the owl. Right? We don't believe in superstition, but it's just a proverb. Leave it to the owl, the thing will announce bad news. So why must you do the owl's job? When people see you, say, good news has come. Ya Bushra, Hadha Ghulam. When they see you, mashallah, this man, whenever he comes, it's some good he brings. And on the contrary, if you're not concerned about that, then they see you, who died now? They see you and they're seeing death now. Malakul Maut came now. What news to give? So that is the second thing, that take good news. Right? The third element that is required in news, take the news or learn and discipline yourself to take news that is beneficial. Alright, I've learned this. How does it benefit me? My deen, my dunya, my akhirat. How does it benefit? It's beneficial, it's alright. The benefit must be great, much more greater than the harm. So the benefit is much more great, it's worthwhile. Even if it's dunya news, it's alright. Alright, sunlight soap is going for 5 cents. Mashallah, sunlight soap is going for 5 cents. So when they see him, they say, hey, this chata is good, man. He tells all the good things, all the good prices where you can get it. So they feel good about it. But now you're talking about tragedies and calamities, so this chata doesn't start off again. Okay. So these 3 points have to be understood. And all these are coming from the Quran Sharif. إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَبِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوبِ. Any news coming to them, touching peace or problems, they just go and broadcast it. وَلَوْرَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِ الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. But the right thing was to refer it to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the people that know how to disseminate. Then they will give you exactly what you need. They understand what is news and how to disseminate it, how to digest it, and how to pass it on. But now, everybody is not in a position to give every bit of news at every time. He's not in that, but he's not that matured. It may be that he can express himself well. It may be that he's eloquent. But does he have the understanding what news is supposed to be given at which time? So it's become a cult. News has become a cult. And we don't realize that we're getting driven in the cult. So, Allah Ta'ala in short doesn't want you لا تهينوا ولا تحزنوا. Don't become faint-hearted and don't grieve. Grief is going to touch you, right? But don't unnecessarily grieve. Don't keep reminiscing and grieving. You may say, what's wrong grieving? Yes. You may take it to a certain point. Beyond that point, won't it make you despondent? There's no hope left. That was now self-inflicted. You knew that you've got a threshold. You must keep within the threshold. You pass the threshold now the same thing becomes a curse for you. But who asked you to pass the threshold? Nobody has forced you. You're going to take it yourself. On the day of Qiyamah, this will happen. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. One is pushing the blame on the other. You guys, you people, you all misled us. It wasn't for you people, we would have been true people. And the influential people will throw back the blame. Says, أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ. We didn't turn you. You did it of your own choice. Both ways were shown to you. Parts of guidance and misguidance. You also wanted all this fun and fear in your lives. You saw the guidance, but you want the fun fear. And you want the fun fear, so now you join the club now. See, on the day of Qiyamah, then you see the true colors of people. So, in essence, the news is not something to be just spilled and given all the time. It's not supposed to be overdone. It's not supposed to be totally ignored. But understand, alright, what I must take, how much I must take, how much I must enjoy, let's leave it. Otherwise what happens, it becomes a case of robbing one person to pay one other person. Now, you are frustrated, you are ghabraat, you are worried. So that frustration, the brunt of your frustration, someone is going to be bearing the brunt of your frustration. Wife, your child, or something is going to get affected. But who asked you to do it? Who asked you to do it? Either your namaz got spoiled, your mood got spoiled, the cheer that you need to have to do your work, that got affected because you're taking this thing here. So, our problem, where it comes from, it stems from this point, that we don't want to subject ourselves. That's where it comes from. Like in education, right, for the right education, you need to subject yourself to a system. I ask you, you want to become a doctor, but you don't want to subject yourself to any system. Can you become a good doctor? So for any type of education, you need to subject yourself. At the primary level, at the advanced level, what it requires, taqleed. Taqleed, I'm translating it as subjecting yourself. Subjecting yourself is now, first have the confidence on the system, and then commit yourself. That's what it requires. You have the confidence, and then after you've got the confidence, i'tiqad, then you follow the system. Then inshallah, 99% of the persons who tried that, it worked out. They subjected themselves, and they followed strictly. At the end, they came out somewhere. So, in our education, we applied very well. If the child said, no, I'll do my hifz, my tajweed on my own. You people don't come and force me, don't coerce me. La ikraha fi deen. This is quoting verses, right? Are you going to accept that? You know? Nobody accept that. You know the damage that you will cause him. And when he's reached an age, 16, 17, then I can't control him at that age. I need to put him onto the track. When he's on the track, then he'll move well. He'll only come to his senses when he's about 35, 40. Before that, you don't come to your senses. Before that, you're still growing up. Hatta idha balagha suddahu wa balagha arba'ina sana. You come to the age of 40, then you're mentally mature. Right? That is general. And nowadays, I think, you only become mentally mature when you're about 55. Because everything is going backwards. When you're going backwards, so the maturity also is coming after some time. But you're getting so consumed with what's going on that you didn't allow yourself to settle that. So you think about a rainbow chicken, right? So you being fed like that. So for you to become strong, sturdy, will it take the same amount of time that it takes a free-range chicken? So you are a rainbow, you are battery chicken. When you are battery chicken, you need to be battered again. When you battered, then you come right. So some realities of life, you have to accept it. Don't accept it. But eventually, when you are 55, 60, then your mind opens out, and then you say, Lola, later sha'aba, later shababa ya'ud. It only came back, you know, I lived my teenage, I would have been something else. I was experimenting on my own. Now I come to realize, now I come to my senses. So, one of the positives that came out of this whole thing is, see, Allah Pak says, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah Pak will not leave things. حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. And Allah Pak will separate the pure from the impure. He's not leave things. So, events may carry on. Then it peaks. When it peaks, it comes to a front. Then Allah Ta'ala separates. Then you see, dood ka dood, or pani ka pani. You see the purity and you see the impurity. So the events will come to a head. Right? Now you see in the history of Islam, right? For the first 13 years, they are being pushed from pillar to post. Going to Abyssinia, Habash, right? Or of them are after they're moving on to Medina, Munawara, right? And then to have a tough time. Battle of Badr, Uhud, right? Then you're getting Khandaq, right? Then you're getting Hudaybiyah, right? So can you see now, from the beginning to Hudaybiyah is approximately 19 years. At Hudaybiyah, the Sahaba Kiram, radiallahu anhum, right? About approximately 1,400 something, right? After Hudaybiyah, now they got some sanity, they got some tranquility, peace and order. From Hudaybiyah, right, till the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah is approximately 17 months. Right? And the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, now they're over 10,000. Right? So, but it took them 19 years to come to that point. Came to a head. When it came to a head, then people have got a chance now to see things in perspective. What is Islam all about? Before that, there was a strong rivalry. I can't see you, you can't see me. I see blood when I see you, and you see me, you see blood. So there was a lot of tension before that. But after that 19 years, when those treaties were all signed, then I got a chance to see you better. I got a chance to see you personally. What is Islam all about? And just around that time, Khalid is coming in, great people are coming in. They're seeing Islam firsthand, they're seeing it. When they're seeing it firsthand, now it's, you know, there's something wrong in us. So Islam also spreads in the same circle. The first level, people that know this whole tariq and all that, you know, one is they say tariq and sirat, and one is to say the fiqh of the sirat. One is the sirat and one is the understanding of it. So one is to know the stories, and one is to understand the nitty-gritty of it, how it happens, how it unfolds, how it unravels. So some people have mastered that. Some people have mastered only the content. They only got the content, but they don't have the very essence, they don't have it. So it's important to have the content, and also it's also important to understand how it works. Or in this situation, this is how things were handled and managed, and in this situation, how it was managed, why it was managed, and you get an understanding. So the similarities, and then there's a reason why you are moving on one end and you're moving on a different end. Why this was done, why this was done here, what was the reason? Like, just look at a case, right? Insulting Rasulullah is a serious offense, very serious offense. When Ka'b ibn Ashraf did this, he was put away, right? He instigated, he spurred on the kuffar against Islam, against Rasulullah person. So it's a massive thing, attempted assassination, all that he did, right? And then until he was wiped out. Then you come on to Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, right? The leader of the Munafiqeen. So now it's the expedition of Mustalaq, first verse of Mustalaq. Look at the fifth. Do the comparison and you see the fit. Right? So it starts off like this, that there is a water trap or a well, Buraisi, and there is a small misunderstanding there between a Muhajir and an Ansar. Right? So there is a misunderstanding, and it could have led to a major problem, and it was diffused in time. But around the time of the misunderstanding, what happened? What happened was that Ansari is saying, Ya Al Ansar. Muhajir is saying, Ya Al Muhajirin. Like I will say, I'll call my people, and you call your people. I'll call my folks, you know me. You know my guys, what they are like. You know, hey, you know what you are, rubbish, what you are. So you talk like that. So it went to that end. It went to that point. Rasulullah person got to know about it. Came to the scene straight away. So Rasulullah wasn't just a dictator, no. He's a man of the time. What stroke, for which situation, what person, how to do it, when to do it. He was there, he presented himself. What is I just show you, do this and do that. And what is I'm there at the time, at the scene. I'm leading the whole thing. When there's a danger, I'm in front. Right? I'm in front, I'm leading the whole thing. I'm talking about Tahajjud Namaz and I'm leading. I talk about Roza and I'm leading. I'm talking of righteousness and nobody's equal to me. Me and my household, they are leading in all these things here. Now that's a leader. Otherwise that's an orator, right? So an orator is a different thing. And a genuine leader is different. So a genuine Nabi is like this. That if he's talking about something, then he leads the way. If he talks about condemning interests, and he said that first interest, tahta qadamay, is the interest of my father, my uncle. We're smashing it down completely. Smashing it for once and for all, no more. We start from the home. So that has a magnificent effect on everybody. A man is stopping it from his own house, his own house. So we don't have a chance in this now. But if I stopped it, my own house is carrying on. It's not a serious thing now. It was a very serious thing that his household wouldn't have left him. But he abolished it and he starts from the home. Now look at this. So all this thing happened and the whole thing is squashed. The whole matter is being resolved. It turned out to be the Muhajir's fault. And Ubadah ibn Samit goes and talks to the parties, everything is settled, they made maaf, they cried and they forgot. But Nabi Sam cautioned them, Ma da'wa al-jahiliyah. The slogans of ignorance, how many seems? Yeah, I'll call my guys and you call your guys. These are all slogans, words of jahiliyah, ignorance. Stand was not more shocked with it. Right. See that. So Islam is telling you, what Nabi Sam is telling you, that you don't align on the basis of lineage, on the basis of racialism, ethnic, right? Color, race. No. Islam is telling you, you've got only two bases. خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرُوا وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنُ. You just got two camps here. One camp is a kafir camp, and one is a Muslim camp. See that? So if there's a dividing line, there is Islam and kufr. That's a dividing line. You, in Islam, so you're with us, and you're not in Islam, then you're not with us. So we make it abundantly clear. We don't now play around with words. Now that's the Quranic verse. خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرُوا وَمِنْكُمْ مِنْ. Then Allah will say, repeat in the Quran, لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَا. Don't take them as friends. Kafirs, don't take them. Yes, kindness and fair play, Islam is next to none. But friendship, لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَا. You don't take them as friends. So we don't say, no, we're all together, let's be one united party, let's join hands, you know. You won't bluff, you won't mislead. You are separate, we are separate. You belong to a different camp, we belong to a different camp. You know, in my childhood, it was on concept, you know. Alright, he didn't know too much about Islam, but up till now I remember him, I make dua for that concept. Quite wealthy, very prosperous. In our area, I don't think he was a person as wealthy as him. Very prosperous. So he had a non-Muslim that he was doing business with. The non-Muslim also was very wealthy. I know the names, I'm just leaving out the name. Right? Non-Muslim also is very wealthy, prosperous in the town. And he was also prosperous, very influential. And they were doing business, and the business was very cordial. But the concept spoke to his non-Muslim business relationship. Says, you see, in business we'll be gentlemen, we'll respect, and we'll be gentlemen in our business. But in every other thing, you will do your thing and I'll do my thing. If it's a function, you will do your function and I will do my function. It's a marriage, you will do yours and I will do mine, right? If it's a wedding, you will do it your way, I will do it my way. If it's a funeral, you will do it your way, I will do it my way, right? If it's a big occasion, like Eid, etc., we will do it our way, so our celebrations, you will do it your way. We won't mix up these things. You will remain in your camp, and we'll remain distinctly in our camp. We will not mix these things. We will not try to show, we will not forge a brotherhood. When our hearts are totally in different, opposite directions, we will not show a brotherhood just for convenience sake. We will make it distinct that you are different, we are different. Right? Your choice, your preferences are different, and our preferences are different. So your men will not join with my men, your women will not join with our women. Yes, we will call them sometimes, when we feel it's an occasion, we will call them. But we won't show that we are one single party. You know. We are different, we are different. Right? So I'm still fond of the man that I know over, I say, 60 years, right? Till I know him, right? But I see the same trait in his children. They may not be very, very pious, and they may not be ulama, but they maintain their grounds. Right? You are different, we are different. You will do your thing, you will not mix up things. Well, you see where it starts off from, where it stems from. So we are talking about Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Right? Now this whole episode had taken place. When it took place now, now he's sitting with his folks, Munafiqeen, right? And he said, you see, we spoiled his people here. We gave them homes. We see to their requirements, right? We gave them everything. We had a gentleman approach with these people here. Now you're putting them on your heads. Watch out now. You be careful about yourself, what you're doing. You watch out and you see what you're doing. Otherwise, just now, they will have the upper hand over you, right? And لَيْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. If we have to return to Medina, then the honorable will expel the mean. Right. These are the words he's using. But it's a long story, I'm just cutting it up, right? But Umar was very, very disturbed. So the information was verified that he mentioned these words here. So he says, Da'ani adribu unuka hadal munafiq. Just allow me to just stop off his head. You see, Ka'b ibn Ashraf, whatever some put the person away, instigating, stirring up. And this man is doing about the same thing. He's stirring up, he's spurring up, he's doing problems, right? But for this person here, this situation, Nabi said, leave him. فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ يَقُولُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى يَقْتُلُ أَصْحَابَهُ. That's the fiqh of the seerat. Right? Because if I'm going to do this, where it's going to be turning out, it will turn out, there'll be publicity, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got no concern about his own friends, he just kills them. So that half information they'll get, and that half information they'll apply, and this is the news that will go around, so just leave this person there. But you see that. Now, who would take the time to go and work out the dynamics here and the dynamics there? So now, that's why I say that every piece of information is not supposed to be passed on to every person. Someone has the capacity to digest. For some person it may be useful, and for some person it will be a disaster. Some person knows how to sift out things genuinely, and some person doesn't know, so it creates an indigestion. What's supposed to be going as energy, now it turns out to be an indigestion. So this is exactly the same thing happens with news. Someone, it creates an indigestion, and someone, it turns out to be energy. So each person needs to understand what's his threshold. This is my threshold, I must listen to this much. It must motivate me, it must be useful, it must give me a direction. I don't need to know the whole world's news, because maine kaha pura dunya ka theka le liya. Have I taken the entire responsibility of the entire world on myself? No. Do how much I can. Allah Pak didn't ask you to do, take the whole world's responsibility on your head. So why are you poking your nose? Why are you curious about it when you know that you can't handle it? See that the fairness in Islam. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. You got a capacity, you got a threshold, work within that, you're traveling well, and you are reaching well. You're traveling well, and you are reaching out well. No, I must know what's happened here, what happened here, tomorrow what happened, what they did here, they wiped out this, and they wiped out that, and they cut off the telecommunications, and did this. And so that all I'll be doing is, I'll be responding in three ways. One is marching, right? Or one is getting excited about the news. And after I'm excited with the news, then I want to take the mimbar on. So the member will say all the news, spew out all the news. So people always saw something. There's a second scene now, they've seen. One movie that already seen, and they saw the second movie here. And now he's given the whole synopsis of the whole news. So I ask you, that whether it's a march, or you're giving that news from the member or whatever, but was it of any good to the public? Was it of any use? Yes, the public ones, to know what they must do. In this type of a situation, what the public wants, what they are in need of, they want, they in need of a direction. That's what they need. Right? Now look at Rasul-e-Pak and Musa alayhi salam. And The gospel has got it, right? We'll send unto them a prophet like we send unto you. See, we'll send unto them, that means the Ummah of Rasulullah, a prophet like unto you. So that means there'll be a lot of similarity between the Bani Israel and the Muslims. There'll be a lot of similarity. Right? Musa alayhi salam married, Rasulullah had married. Musa alayhi salam had children, Rasulullah had children. Musa alayhi salam had to take refuge out of his land, Nabi Sallam had to move, right? Musa alayhi salam had to move out for 10 years, Nabi Sallam also had to live out of Madinah Munawara for 8 years and then whatever, right? 10 years after that, right? But there's a lot of similarities. He had encounters, right? He had people harassing and persecuting, same thing happened here, right? So there are a lot of similarities between the both. Now, when you look at Musa alayhi salam, so when Fir'aun discovered what was going on, Fir'aun called his parliament. In his parliament, it was agreed, سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. So the parliament already had agreed that we will kill every child. Child is born, it's come out from the womb of the mother, and just mercilessly just chop him off. So thousands of Bani Israel are just getting killed, day by day. Every day, Bani Israel is getting wiped out. Any man born, killed. Came out of the womb, gone. Right. Thousands are just beheaded. So, نُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. And the woman spared them because we'll need to have some mamas and all that. So just spare them, right? For their own convenience, spare them. The fear is about the men. When the fear is about the men, the woman is not a fear, so leave them, but just finish them, wipe them out. Now it's a time that the Bani Israel are like in a siege. They can't move out. We're not going to move out. They're taken like slaves. Right? وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَبَّتَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. You know, Musa is saying that you enslaved the Bani Israel. نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَبَّتَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. You enslaved them, so they can't make a move. So they are seized, they are blocked from all ends, they can't move. Then the sons are getting wiped out. And there's absolutely no way, no exit for them. Can you see the scene now? No exit, they are taken as slaves, women are spared, men are just being slaughtered. Khalas, finished. So the Bani Israel complained to Musa alayhi salam, Udina min qabli an ta'atiyana wa min ba'di ma jitana. Musa alayhi salam, when you were born, you went into problems. Now you are a Nabi and come to us, then again we have got a second phase of problems. At your birth we are in problems. Now you have reached up, right? Came to us as a Nabi. We have problems again. Udina min qabli an ta'atiyana wa min ba'di ma jitana. So Musa alayhi salam tells them two things. Asa rabbukum an yuhlika aduwakum. وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Shortly Allah Ta'ala will destroy this. Although it's a superpower, but Allah Ta'ala will wipe them out, and you will be replacing them. You will be succeeding them. You will be taking their seats. But in all this, فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. You are grumbling about yourself, etc. He wants to see your behavior afterwards. Is it going to be any better than them? Or you're going to be the same like them. And now you think for a moment, look at the world, how it's running, right? I ask any person that's seen countries worldwide, right? Or heard of countries. In the present situation, can you practice your deen more freely in this country or most of the Islamic countries? Ask yourself. Can you practice your deen more freely here or in the so-called Muslim countries? Here you have to build up 10 masjid and 500 maktabs. Go, do it, right? Any red tape, anything to stop you, nothing to stop you, go do it. Right? And in these countries, to open up a maktab, There will be over 500 red tapes. Can't. But to open up a temple or a mandir, well, you have the green lights, and we leaders will come and come to the opening of the ceremony, the opening of the church, the opening of that mandir, we'll come and help you to do the fires. Is it a fact or is it just an assumption or an allegation? Is it a fact or not? So the level of iman, the level of Islam that you can practice here, that is supposed to be the reason for your priority. Not just the name Islam and the name Muslim. We have enough of this fronting. Allah Pak Sikh, right? Understand, come to your brains, come to your senses, and this fronting, we have enough. And Allah Pak is not interested in the fronting. Allah Pak is interested, فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُ. He wants to see your behavior, how you are. You're giving a front, or you are a real Muslim. Where are you? You know, some many years ago, he got 30 because it was before this masjid was built. We had a guest from Egypt. So he was with Mullah Salih's class. You know, his class is a small room. So we put him up there. So after about a couple of 3-4 days, 5 days, he settled now, at ease. So I asked him how you need anything to respect the mihman. I didn't want to ask him straight away. I wanted him to relax because he seemed to be tired. 3-4 days, 5 days passed. Means everything is taken care of. So after 5 days, I asked him, how is it everything? And can I help you? Can I be of any service to you? You know? So what was your profession? I was a teacher. So why did you give up your profession to come here? He says, no, the against Islam. Where he's coming from Egypt, right? Militarily wise, they're about the mightiest. In all the Arab world, they're the strongest, right? So I asked him then, but why did you move away? So he says, no, in our schools, right, because they're all government schools, so we can't talk on any controversial topic. We can't talk about anything controversial. I said, that's a very great thing, that you don't get into any controversy. So but why did you leave it up? Say, Murad, you didn't understand what I'm saying. We can talk about performing namaz, right? But we can't talk against Trinity. Because we've got 1% Coptic Christian here. And if we talk against Trinity, then it's a controversial subject. So we can't talk of that. Yes, a non-controversial subject, go for Hajj, perform namaz, that's all right. But anything that amounts to a controversy, then you're not allowed to talk about it, you're not allowed, otherwise it's a criminal offense. Now, where he's sitting in a Muslim country, biggest Muslim population, military-wise, they're the strongest, but in their deen, they have betrayed the nation. So, the learner that is coming out from their school, so does he find a difference between polytheism and Islam? Does he find it? It's no different now. That this is a controversial subject, leave it aside. Just talk of things that are non-controversial. So what happens to the next generation, I ask you? Will they have a direction or will they be lost cases? See, because of that, for my own deen, for my own goodness, my own sanity, I left that, I have come to settle here. See. So, you see the differences. I quoted the verse, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. So it will come to a head, and after it comes to a head, then Allah Ta'ala will sift the pure from the impure. حَتَّى يَكُونَ فُسْتَاتَيْنَ فُسْتَانُ إِمَانٍ لَا نِفَاقَ فِي وَفُسْتَانُ نِفَاقٍ لَا إِمَانَ فِي. It will be divided into two camps. There will be a camp of iman without any hypocrisy, democracy, and there will be a camp of Islam, right, without any democracy and hypocrisy. One is pure hypocrisy and democracy without any iman, and the other is pure iman without. So you will be divided into groups. That is now the hadith, the Quranic verse, Hatta yamizal khabitha min al-tayyib. So I just explained, Huwa alladhi khalakakum faminkum kafiru wa minkum mu'min. If there's a dividing line between iman and disbelief. Right? Now again the hadith tells us, right? Every day, every Muslim, is renewing his pledge with Allah Ta'ala. Every Muslim, every day, is renewing his pledge with Allah Ta'ala. What's the pledge that he's taking? وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Right? So I leave out, we leave out, and we abandon those people who violate your law. Whoever is violating, in violation of your law, then we'll abandon them, we'll break away from them. So you see the two levels. One is at Iman, that you are in a different group, they are in a different group. Then it is the second level, where that person is violating the law of Allah Ta'ala, and one is committed to the law, so you break away from that. وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to explain this. He said, see, here Allah Pak says, وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. It's a double emphasis, نَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ. Both got more or less the same meaning. But the point that he would bring out here, نَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ, the point that he would bring out is, خُلَع is a separation, right? You're separated from the wife, right? But Islam says, alright, you do the separation, but do it in a dignified way. It's going to be a bitter moment, but try your best to cover it up with some sweetness, some kindness. So when there's a separation, then they don't forget the kindness. See? But if you're going to be separating with swear words, aggression, fighting, disputing, so that will be the last thing that's in the mind, that we left, but we left in a very distasteful manner, a very disgusting manner we left. That will be the last impression. But if the separation was there, but the separation was done with beauty in a dignified manner, then you separated, but there's no ill feelings, no fighting, there's nothing. So that Fajir is a different person when you're going to be leaving him. Fajir is the person, Fajir and a Fasik, there's a difference. Fajir is a person whose sins are clear, right? You can see the wrong, right? Like for example, right? It's not a very good example, or maybe it's not so palatable to many people, right? I ask you, the person that is shaving off his beard, so is his sin clear or is it discreet? And is it a small thing or is it a serious thing? It's a very serious thing, right? Why is it serious? It's serious because, alright, someone stole or committed zina, right? For the duration that he committed zina or he stole, right, he did the sin and then he came out, right? For that duration that he is involved in that wrong, he committed the wrong and then he separated himself, right? But that person that shaved off his beard, is there a moment that he is not in sin? He's sleeping, he's in sin. He's in bed, he's in sleep, he's in sin. He's in the toilet, he's in sin. He's moving around, he's doing business. There isn't a second that he's not in sin. So what we have said, وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَيَفْجَرُكُ. So these are two levels that we will distance ourselves. One is at the point of iman and disbelief. One is at the point of obedience and disobedience. We will separate. We will keep a distance. I want you to see, you know, hadith which says, لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقيون. Want to see what the experts say. Like I say, it's a time where everybody is giving his 2 cents. And the 2 cents, 90% is nonsense. So then, let's go back to the ancient and see what is the sensible thing. Everybody wants to be sensible. So, people that had genuine sense, let's see what they had to say. So I had to see some of the experts on hadith. Amma Khattabi, Mulla Ali Qari, what they have to say. Under, لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقيٌ. A muttaqi should be eating your food. What? A muttaqi is supposed to be eating your food, right? So now, there are different types of feeding. Ta'am indal haja, right? What is the person is in need? You fed the person. So that is a feeding out of need. That you will feed everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody. Right? Out of need, you will feed him. He's battling now. Fed him, however you fed him, but you fed him, right? And the other feeding is, you are doing a feeding out of respect, out of consideration, and out of love. So when it's out of respect and love, then that food must be fed to the muttaqi. So then I want to know, alright, what was the need to feed only the muttaqi and not all and sundry? What was the need? Because it would seem like feeding, alright, he is a human being, he's a Muslim. But you're feeding out of love and out of respect. So with love and respect, then this person must be fed, not the ghair muttaqi. Why? What was the reason? So the reason was too profound. It's too, I can't just get over it. See? He says, we're going to be calling such people at home, right, who's not committed to deen. You're not committed to deen, right? And you're going to be coming, you are socializing, etc. And you know the person is doing wrong, right? So, can you be firm on your deen with such a person around? Because there's going to be a socializing, he's coming, leaving, coming and going, right? And you can see he's relaxed about his deen. So when you see the person relaxed about his deen, can you remain firm on your structures? Or are you going to have a little bit of a compromising attitude? Because now you don't want to break the friendship. When you don't want to break the friendship, are you going to have a compromising, soft attitude towards him? Right? And then he supports you with the hadith, لَا تَجْعَلْ لِفَاجِرٍ لَا تَجْعَلْ لِفَاجِرٍ إِنْدِي نِعْمَةً وَكَافِيهِ بِيَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah Ta'ala, let there not be a fajir having a favor, that he has done a favor to me, that fajir, right? Fajir has done a favor to me. When he's done a favor to me, then I'll have to be relaxed, and I'll have to be a little bit relaxed and compromising towards him. He's done a favor to me, so when I be relaxed, when I be considerate towards him, and I'm going to be considerate and casual about it, and being casual and considerate in what? In worldly affairs or deeny affairs. So if he's watching sports and whatever else, so I have to be considerate. I say, this person has got a very good heart. See, I will cover it up. See, that's what I'm saying, fronting. So we perfected the science of fronting. And the fronting is, that fronting is nifaq. The fronting is nifaq. That just give a good front. After that, whatever you're doing behind the scenes is all right. But just give a good front. The fronting must be right. In our language, we say, handa hoon ke hai. So the God today is, handa hoon ke hai. What will people say? So if there is a bond, right, or I'm giving a certain front, why I'm giving the front, or I'm aligning to someone, I'm aligning on what basis? Aligning or respecting, on what's the basis, right? I will align on the basis of either ethnic lines, or the lines of racialism, right? Or the lines of language, or the lines of a certain class, certain circle, wealth, right? Right. That's the general trait in this day. If I'm aligning, then who am I aligning to? If I got a circle, then who's the circle? Either wealth, either language, either family, either some type of business relationship, right? So now, when I'm aligning, I'm keeping this person in my circle, then if it is a problem, right, if we come onto a head, right, then which side will I take? I will take a side that comes within this. So even if the person is doing right, or he's doing wrong, I will come onto his side. I will not see that this person is standing on the basis of justice in Islam. Minkum kafiru wa minkum. Not going to be. I'm not going to say, nakhla'u wa ratarukum mayafjuruk. No, he's a good friend, you know, he's got a good heart, and befriending him because of that. So whatever he's doing, we'll cover it, we'll give it a cover, we'll give it a fronting. And on the fronting, we'll be confusing people. I ask you, is it a fact or not a fact? We'll be confusing or not confusing. So we're coming back now, we just drifted quite away, moved away. So Musa alayhi salam, when his people were in a siege now, right? An abbat the Bani Israel. So what was his advice? One was this, وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمُرُ. Allah will appoint you just now, and Allah is going to see your conduct. He's not worried about your lineage, not about your wealth, not about your status, Nothing, that doesn't concern Allah Ta'ala. It's not your social standing, it's not your lineage, it's not your language. Nothing concerns Allah Ta'ala. He's going to see amalakum wa qulubakum. He's going to see your conduct, and he's going to see your heart, how good they are. That's what he's going to see. So that's the first line of Musa alayhi salam. The second line Musa alayhi salam gave, right, that you are in this predicament, right? Understand, in al-afdalillah. No matter how they may claim about being super duper powers and all that, right? Ardalillah, the land belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Right? The spiders are coming up, right? And that spider is saying, you know, hey, I'm gonna jet. Today I'm jetting here, and tomorrow I'm jetting this side. And you know my entourage, and you know the network I got. You know? So the spider is very boastful about itself, the network that I've got, and the entourage that I've got. And I'm such a powerful person, anybody comes onto my dome, he's trapped. I can just trap anybody, take on anybody. So the spider is boastful about itself. He doesn't realize, the spider at that moment doesn't realize that there is a boss over him. And for that boss is so easy, وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ One stroke, he'll wipe it out. In one stroke, he'll wipe the whole thing out. I ask you, doesn't Allah Pak have the power to do it? Now you ask me, where's Allah Ta'ala gone? It's a question that people ask. And I say the reason is that it's an overflood of information and they don't know how to digest that. So if they don't want to digest it and they don't want to give up the news, I ask you, is it going to affect the iman or not? Now we lost sight that إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ. The world belongs to Allah. He'll guard it to whomever. And for him to give it, it's a moment. It's just one moment and things will change. So we lose sight of it. So that means the Quran Sharif is not a reference kitab now. The newspaper, the media, you must follow the media, follow the news. So is the Quran Sharif a reference now? No. What the news is saying, what is the media saying, that's what we need to follow. The Quran Sharif is by the way. See that? This will be a guidance, all right. Give you some ease. But is that your focus? Is the Quran your focus or the media the focus? Is that the God and His scripture, divine scripture, or this is it? These people are paid. These people are manipulating the news. And then you are manipulated. Is it a fact or is it a false? But our reference is the Quran. So Musa alayhi salam, he explained to the Bani Israel, what's the step that you must take for you to be able to prevail. He says, Istainu billahi. What's the 3-point plan? Istainu billah. Right? So what is the first plan? And that's the first point of the plan, Istainu billah. Right? Ask Allah Ta'ala's assistance. And the way to ask Allah Ta'ala's assistance, Istainu bisabr. Was salah. There will be two things that you'll have to hold on to. To attract the help of Allah Ta'ala. See, the land belongs to Allah Ta'ala, He'll give it, right? When He'll give it, but how do you attract His assistance? Istainu billah, istainu bis sabri was salah. You will draw the assistance from Allah Ta'ala through namaz. Iyansurkum Allahu fala ghaliba lakum. If He's on your side, can anybody prevail over you? Did you ever think of that? If Allah Pak is on your side, can anybody overcome you? So are we looking at the dome and the mass weapons of destruction? Or are we looking at the help of Allah Ta'ala? Are we getting impressed with the weapons or with the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? What is supposed to be prevailing in your mind and your heart? Is this weapons and this bombing? Or the qudrat and the power, the mighty and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala? What's supposed to be prevailing in your heart? If the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala prevailed, then you won't be crying. You will understand the greatness of Allah, the glory of Allah Ta'ala. Khalid radiallahu anhu, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. He's having some peace treaty with the kafir, right? The kafir put a bottle in his hand. So, while they're discussing, but why are you carrying this bottle? This is poison. This poison is so potent that before the taste can reach you, you died. Can you imagine how poultry is? It's so toxic. It's so toxic that you just put it here. Before you can understand the taste, you're gone. Asha, is that the case? So Khalid al-Jilal, look at the yaqeen. Look at the trust. He said, Bismillah al-Ladhi la yadurru ma'asmi shayun fil audi wa la fi sama'a wa sumirli. Alright, give it to me. And in one circuit through the whole thing. Now this kafir is still waiting, right? Kab hoga, kya hoga, kab hoga, kab hoga. At just that point he accepted iman. So what was the difference? That iman and that yaqeen was there. Inna al-arda lillah. That kafir, he got a shock and he accepted Islam straight away. But at which point, when he showed that iman and the yaqeen, his yaqeen was at that level. But you don't imitate Khalid. You don't have that yaqeen. Because if you are in that situation, Hazrat was doing it or not. What has happened? So I was asked Hazrat was. But Khalid had that yaqeen that Allah will save him. So he had that yaqeen had reached that level. Well, that yaqeen had reached that level, he didn't have to consult anybody. He just took the thing. And nothing happened to him. Allah ibn Hadrami, he had that yaqeen. If I go over the office, nothing will happen to me. When you reach that level of yaqeen, then you don't need to ask anybody. Then you just do it. But you don't have that level of yaqeen, then man yata'alla billahi yukadibu. You try and show a front. You know, this fronting, this is a zaman of fronting. You show off that Allah will prove your lies. He'll prove you wrong. Don't show off. That's what we're doing. We mastered the game of fronting democracy and hypocrisy. I was explaining to the students this last week. Kitabul Adab. Mal yatashabba' bimalam yu'ta, right? Mal yatashabba' bimalam yu'ta. So you're pretending to be what you aren't. Right. Now that hadith talks about a woman, she's a co-wife, right? So she wants to impress over the co-wife. See, my hubby, what he's done for me, he's done this and he's done this. So he wants to burn her. She wants this one, he wants to burn this one. Yutashabba bimalam yu'ta, right? So, but don't do this in here. Because you do this type, you have this type of an attitude, Allah will disgrace you. You know, some 30 years ago, when these phones didn't come out yet, right? So one person in the army, he just got a promotion, got a private officer. He was just now in the barracks, and in the old days, the people living in the barracks were saying Barkas. Gujarati got his own pronunciation, RNGs, Afal. I don't know if it still exists or not. So the people living in the barracks were saying Barkas. So anyway, from the barracks, they promoted him, they brought him, gave him a personal office. Now, you know, person that is very low and one shot he's promoted, then he can't handle it. He can't digest it. So anyway, there's a knock on the door. And when there's a knock on the door, he took the phone straight away. Yes, I'm finishing a deal with Washington, another deal with Russia, and selling this, buying this weapons here for 5 billion and 10 billion, all that. That person is really outside. He's listening to the story, getting really impressed. Right? So he finished the conversation. I said, "Well, come in, can help you." He said, "Yeah, I just came to collect your phone." But you see, you do all these things here, and Allah will disgrace you. You don't pretend to be what you aren't. Be your real self. Allah doesn't want this fronting. Lion zuru ila suwarikum. The whole world is all this fronting. Give a front, you wear this type of clothes, show yourself like this, don't show yourself like that, the house must be like this. Just the fronting. Allah is not interested in the fronting. Hatta yamizakum, he wants to see now the wasta. So, first is fayan zura kayfa ta'mal. Second is istra'inu billah. And I said, istra'inu bi sabri wa salah. You ask Allah Ta'ala's permission, you draw through salah. I ask you, everybody is defeated here. How many of us, once since we heard this thing till now, how many of us made more than 10 rakats of namaz, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the help of the Muslims, wherever they are? How many of us have done it? But in the news charts, mullahs, they only talk about namaz and all that, they don't know about current affairs. So that means the mullah must buy into your thinking. So your thinking is right, and the Mulana, the Quran Sharif, is not right. So because he's not listening to you, he's not talking about current affairs and all that, so he's off. See that, the reasoning. He must listen to you, he must talk about current affairs to be online. But now, this is, I'm showing you now, Musa alayhi salam, the similarities, and when they in the siege, in the heat of the siege, and you can imagine how innocent little children, sinless, just came out on planet Earth now, and they've been chopped mercilessly. But what Musa alayhi salam is telling them, right? So this, again, with Musa alayhi salam, there's two situations. One is he's telling his people go and attack. Go and attack them. Right. He's giving a different story. Can you see that? They, when they're equipped, when they're strong, and when they're mighty, they're stunning his people. Right. You just come to them at the gates, and you wipe them out, you mow them down. Right. That's the one story. And here he's giving a different story. When you're not equipped and you don't have the imani power, etc., now he's telling them, ista'inu billah wasbiru. Can you see that? There it was a different narrative, and the narrative here is totally different. Can you see that? Situation is, circumstance is different there, circumstance is different here. They go at war, right? And here, ista'inu billahi wasbiru. You don't have that equipment, you don't have the imani power, you don't have that backing, it's not the time. The time hasn't arrived. Then when the time hasn't arrived, what do you do? Ista'inu billah. So those brothers that are there, wherever they are, and blessings for what they are doing, right? They are there, they are doing that. But I say, you are staying here, can you go there? Can you be of any use to them? Then I ask you, these marches and the slogans and shouting, etc., right? Does it make any difference? I think we passed the stage. We saw a lot of marches here, everywhere. We pass the stage now. It's just to appease the sight. You know, we're doing something for Islam. But what are you doing? What have you done? Did you make any difference? You made that march, you came out. Any difference that you make? You know, those people are not worried also. Do how much marches you want, we'll carry on with our business. They're worried about you. So, will that make a dent to their camp? To their army? You're not creating any difference. You're not creating any difference, and they're laughing at you. These people, all they know is at the heat of the problem, they will just make marches, they will boycott. And after that, everybody will still need Diskem and Mr. Price, they'll need KV, they'll still come to us. For that small duration, 1 year, 2 years, we'll lose the business. And then after that, we'll just inflate the price, what our losses, we'll just cover it up. Khalas. The business also, what are they? KV, Diskem, what are they in business? So we lost the business 1 year. Next year, when they need us again, we'll just inflate the price because we got the stuff, nobody has got it. So we'll just inflate it, we'll cover up all our losses. Khalas. So don't worry about that. So it's a business strategy. They know what they're doing. It's not that they don't know what they're doing. But I say, are you falling into the trap? What you're doing, are you referring to the Quran? Ista'inu billah. So I say, anybody that is seated here, tell me, if you, after listening to all this, made first wuzu, made namaz, in Sajda you cry for a long time. Did you ever do that? On Badr, what did Nabi Sallam do? Sajda is so long. It's so long in Sajda until his shawl Mubarak had fallen. And Abu Bakr radiallahu had to comfort him. Ya Rasulullah, Allah Pak has listened to your dua. The whole night he's crying. He's crying to Allah. How many of us took the time to read? Ya, slogan, march, shout, cry, boycott, etc. So I'm first number there. Just affronting Islam, what? Appeasing conscience or appeasing the public conscience, we are first. But pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing from His assistance, did we think about it? How we draw from His assistance? Do we ever think about it? Ista'in, see what he's saying? Ista'inu billah. Number two, wasbiru. Ista'inu billah. So with namaz. And number two is wasbiru. Just be calm. Just be relaxed. Calm. Those people are doing what they need to do, and all the blessings, all the barakah to them. Allah Ta'ala give them victory in what they're doing. But here we are on this front. And on this front, what are we supposed to be doing? See, I told Musa alayhi salam, there's two fronts. In one front, he's saying, "Udkhulul bab." فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ. And you see that. And here what he's saying, "Ista'inu billahi wasbiru." Remain firm. Don't you become intolerable. Remain firm, remain steady, and draw from the assistance of Allah Ta'ala through crying to Him, asking from Him, begging for His assistance. Can you see that? One of the ways that has been recommended, right, is reciting La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minas salimin. Yunus alayhi salam also, he is in a siege. Fanada fi zulumat, three covers, his wooden three covers, the belly of the fish, the ocean, and perhaps the night, and he's under three covers. Is there any way for him to escape? But fanada fi zulumat, at that moment also, he didn't lose sight of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the power, the might and the glory of Allah Ta'ala, he didn't lose sight. And he cried, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, right? And Allah says, فَالْتَقَوْمَهُ الْحُوتُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُصَبِّحِينَ. Had he not prayed to us and cried to us, لَبِسَ فِي بَطْنِهِ لَيُمْ يُبَاسُهُ, he would have remained there. So what granted him, what blessed him with the exit? See that verse, how clear the word. لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُصَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِسَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبَاسُهُ. Just look at the words. Can you see that? And the third thing in this plan is, وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Why? You want a favorable end. You want a favorable end, then keep on the lines of taqwa. This march and this kuffar system, etc. You won't become a slave. Don't enslave yourself.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Rasulullah and the teachings of Quran Sharif.